Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we're dedicated to waste reduction efforts, big and small. I'm Biz, and today I'm here with Steph. Good morning, Steph. How are you doing?
Good morning, Biz. I'm good. How are you?
Good. And Steph has a kids-themed clothing thrift store.
Yes. Yeah, kids and maternity, actually.
So going even before they're born. Awesome.
Yeah. Trying to catch all of those really short-lived clothing wears. So maternity kind of fits in the same category in that you only wear it for 1 to 2 years, and sometimes it doesn't get a lot of wear, and it's perfectly good before you don't need it anymore.
Right. Yeah. Clothing, well, hopefully clothing lasts years and years and years, but if you only need it for a few months at a time, that item of clothing should be able to be used again and again by more than one person, I would hope. And that's where you come in.
That's the goal. Although I will say kids' clothes are unique in that they can be used for a short amount of time, but they're can be very heavily used in that short time, depending on what kind of kid you have and what you're doing with them. Definitely more prone to stains, rips, and, you know, heavy washing.
That's
in
fair.
The time that they're worn. Yeah.
So tell me about how you got into this. Where was the motivation and inspiration to get started?
Yeah. Well, I just had my second. I have a 2.5-year-old and a 10-month-old. So I'm my second COVID mat leave right now. And I do mostly secondhand shopping for my kids. A lot of it is also supplemented with hand-me-downs and gifts. I just found it really hard to find secondhand clothes beyond going to a couple stores that have been around for a while, Once Upon a Child being the main one. So I typically do all my shopping at Once Upon a Child. But with COVID, I didn't like taking my kids out in public all the time. And it's actually, even without COVID, it's just kind of not pleasant to shop with a child in my experience. So, I know other cities have online options for secondhand kids' clothes, and there wasn't really a lot of that in Edmonton. It was just a gap in the market that I thought, I can do this. I can totally fill that hole. And maternity wear, even beyond kids, I think is even harder to find used. There was not a single thrift or consignment store that I went to that did maternity specifically. The only place to find maternity clothes would have been to go through Goodwill or Value Village and just luck out. And again, with kids, I just didn't have time to go to that effort to find maternity clothes.
To peruse and hope you find something.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Luckily, as a nurse, I didn't have to have a lot of maternity clothes. Yeah, I'm an RN and I got away with all scrubs for most of my maternity. Yeah, so that was good. But I am unique in that. Like, I know lots of people that work in an office need, you know, they need a few outfits, and it's hard other than just buying new online.
Right. I like that you chose to use what you had instead of going out and buying new stuff. You're like, I have these things in my collection that will do what they need to do. So I really like that.
Yeah. Definitely. I was lucky in that sense. And then with a young one, you know, we don't go out a ton. So for my second pregnancy, I didn't need any of my maternity clothes, really. Because anytime that I wasn't at work, I was lazing around at home. And scrubs were just as good there, too.
There you go.
Yeah. But I do understand kind of wanting to get maternity clothes, because for most people, you'll only be pregnant once or twice. Or, you know, like sometimes, you know, you're pregnant a couple of times. But it's a short period of your life that you're pregnant. And if you like being pregnant and you like showing off that amazing belly, then it's nice to have clothes that highlight that and showcase that, because it's a pretty cool thing.
I'll take your word for it.
It's not everybody's favorite stage of life, and I would say it had ups and downs, but I did like showing off my baby bump, so it's kind of nice to have a few items for that, for sure.
Yeah, and not just be uncomfortable because you're wearing clothes that are just not designed for that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Pregnancy is uncomfortable enough as it is.
So tell me why shopping secondhand is so important to you.
It's funny. It's kind of a funny thing. For me, I was never a big thrifter, actually, until I met my husband 12 years ago or so. Like, his mom is a very big thrifter, and I've gotten into it through her, for sure. She's inspired me to get into that. The gem of finding used items is such a unique feeling of just that, you know, score of finding a deal, finding something you love that you couldn't get new and that you are so proud that you got for such a sweet deal. So I would say she introduced me to the world of thrifting, but I'm not a big shopper to begin with. So it's never been something I'm hugely gravitated towards. But with the kids' clothes, it's very important to me because there's so much of it out there. Like, and it's, to me, it just really encapsulates all of the things that are wrong with fast fashion, because it's pumped up at such high volumes and worn for such a short time, and often not worn at all. Like, I would be hard pressed to find a parent that hasn't had several outfits sit in their drawers, never go on the baby, and, you know, they're just passed on new with tags. Happens all the time.
Yeah. I imagine, like, gifts are not necessarily purchased in the right size, or they just speed through a specific size because of growth spurts and you just don't get around to it. Or maybe something was a little fancier that didn't get worn all the time. You default to the onesies and the...
Exactly. Yeah. Because most of us keep our kids in pajamas, like sleepers for the most part. You know, sleepers, sweats, the comfy stuff. Like, if you're not leaving the house, I am of the mindset that if I don't want to wear jeans today, I'm not going to make my kids wear jeans today, you know? So, yeah, they spend a lot of time in pretty basic stuff. And you get gifted, like, people don't really love buying as gifts sweatpants and sleepers. They want to buy you the cute frilly dresses or the, you know, fancy crew necks or the collared shirts. So you get a lot of that doesn't get worn.
Okay.
And you get a lot of baby gifts, people, because they're cute. Baby clothes are really cute. But really, you need the, like, 12 to 18 month and older that they're going to stay in for longer. Like, those are the clothes that you typically need to buy that you're not gifted as often.
So would you say you get more of the comfy stuff that people have a lot of, or would you say you get more of the fancy stuff?
For Green Canoe, we try to keep it as both. There's a lot of really specialized kids consignment or thrift stores out there. If you start searching them on Instagram, there's tons. And a lot of them have their own little niche within it. So some of them do, like, more outerwear, more wool, more, like, small shop stuff. And then you'll find more of those, like, fancier items or, like, special small shop items. We really try to take all of it in because as a buyer, I think you do need to have all those basic wear. And as a more sustainability focused business, I think it is important that we take all of the clothes from a closet when people are trying to donate, so that they donate or sell, so that it's convenient to drop it all off in one place. And we will make sure that it ends up in a home. And if it is unwearable or we can't sell it or we can't donate it, then we'll find a way to repurpose it or upcycle it. It doesn't really work for my business model to say we'll do that, but we only accept, you know, certain items.
Right.
For that reason, we accept all brands and all types of clothes. Yeah, I think that's great as a buyer too, because you need those basic things.
So then you take on that responsibility of making sure that the items get placed in their best possible, whether it's end of life or continuing that life on with someone else.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I know you've had Blenders on here a couple times, Sarah from Blenders. So definitely inspired by that kind of business model. I've talked to Sarah a couple times about this as well. Like, there's just, we have a kind of problematic system with how clothes are donated and redistributed for sure right now, that they just often end up in big, large donation centers with no plan of how to deal with the excess. We're doing our small part to try to tackle that problem by connecting with community organizations or just families in need directly that we know we can find a home for the clothes that we take in.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I also love that you're connecting with Blenders, and that also that you mentioned that you shop at another consignment store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once upon a child is what
Once upon a child, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
just because I really love that community cooperative mindset. I think this whole, like, I'm not going to mention their name because they're my competition is just not right.
Yes. Right? Like, 100%.
We're all in this together. And I think if we help each other out, that just helps both parties in the end.
For sure.
Yeah.
I believe that so wholeheartedly. Like, this resale business has huge potential. There is so much room in this market. Like, there can be 20 more businesses like me right now in Edmonton. And I think that would be the best thing. You know, I think just the more we can convert the masses to buying secondhand versus buying new as the first option. Mm-hmm. Every time somebody buys secondhand instead of going to Winners or going to Amazon is a win. So whether that's from me or some of the other great resellers, I think that's awesome. There's two more on Instagram that are a similar idea that sell off Instagram. One is called Oak Forage with an underscore underneath. And another is called Prairie Littles Co. I hope I got that right.
I'll post them in the show notes too. So
sure. We'll yeah. Yeah. And I've connected with them as well. And I just find this community has been very welcoming, very collaborative, very willing to help each other out, boost each other up. And there's definitely options, which is good because when you're a parent, shopping secondhand is often very important to a lot of parents, but also convenience becomes hugely important. So if I don't have what you need as a parent, maybe one of my other reseller friends has what you need, or, you know, maybe I'm far away. Maybe you live in West Edmonton. I'm based in Bonnie June and you don't want to come pick it up in Bonnie June or pay for shipping.
Right.
And I would much rather you shop somewhere close than having to ship it over to you or deliver it to you. So yeah, I think the more the better for sure.
That's awesome. That's just so lovely to hear. I just think that's the way to do it and not be bitter and angry towards other people doing similar things to you. Really, like, if you've got a similar idea to someone else, obviously it was a good idea. And right? Yes. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So my big dream with Big Canoe, and we'll see. I'm still in the baby stages, but I would love to have a brick and mortar shop that operates as kind of a collective that multiple resellers can sell out of, like a permanent pop-up market kind of thing. But whether that's like each individual reseller rents a rack on short-term rental basis, or I haven't worked out any of the logistics, but yeah, I definitely have a very communal mindset going into this that I would love to see upcyclers and resellers come together in just beautiful communal space.
What else do you do in your life to try to reduce your waste and be more sustainable?
Yeah, my husband is he's very green. He's definitely the inspiration around here. We do cloth diapers with our kids and we eat mostly meat free around here. I would say those are the two biggest things we do. I mean, we've done everything from worm composting, do some gardening. We do a lot of repairing, reusing. My husband's a very, very big fan of living everything out to the absolute end. A lot of effort in that domain, I would say.
Yeah, man, cloth diapers, that's such a huge one.
Yeah, it's huge. I would actually really love to get, that's something I'd love to incorporate into the business at some point, because you can buy cloth diapers used. We've gotten all of our cloth diapers used. They actually have a very long lifespan and are pretty easy to repair when normally the thing that goes on them first is the elastics around the thighs. And once those get worn out, they leak a lot. Oh, so that's probably the number one. Yes. Did you hear that? Yeah, that's my youngest. So once those diapers get all, I mean, after our toddler was done with them, they're pretty stretched out. They're all in need of getting those elastics replaced.
Right.
Which is hard for parents. I would say cloth diapering has been good for us, but I would never tell somebody that it's no work. It's a learning curve for sure. And it's time consuming. So I think that's one of the things that intimidates people about it. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to do selling cloth diapers and selling pre-loved cloth diapers and even cloth diaper education, whether those were like workshops or something. If we had a brick and mortar space, I envision doing cloth diapering education workshops or tips and tricks or repairs or things like that. Because I think there's a lot of parents that would do it if they had just some bumps in the right direction, that it didn't feel so daunting to take it on.
Yeah, because it's not common knowledge, because so many people, it's just not the default in our society at the moment.
Exactly. The big companies are really good at promoting the convenience of disposable diapers, and disposable diapers are hugely convenient. They're small to pack, just easy. Everybody knows how to use them.
So one thing that you might know, is there like a diaper service in the city?
There is, yeah. And I know people that use it. And I think that would actually be, if I had to guess, I guess I would think that would be the most environmentally friendly option, because they can launder all of the diapers at once. So the laundering would also be more efficient.
Right.
So for anybody who can afford that, it'd be hugely convenient and I think very environmentally friendly. But it is definitely more expensive than cloth diapering and even disposable diapering. So whether that's in your budget is different. But that'd be awesome. We've chosen to go the do it ourselves.
Right.
I'd say it's very doable, and now it's just part of our lives, and I quite like it actually. Because they're very cute, the cloth diapers. Make these little bubble bums. And they're just like, they're fun patterns. And yeah, plus it apparently makes it easier to toilet train them. But it is a learning curve for sure.
Yeah, but I think like anything, it's a habit that you develop. And if you don't get into the habit of the disposable diapers in the first place, you're developing a new habit anyway.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I would say I'm really lucky too that my husband's super on board, because I think the most challenging part, this is really funny for me to say as a nurse, but once they start eating solids and their poop gets very stinky, disposing of the poop is definitely the messiest part of cloth diapering. But my husband's really on board and does a lot of helping out in that domain. And there's lots of ways to make that easier and to make it cleaner and to make it like really good. And poop is kind of gross even in your disposable. Yeah. So it's not like you can avoid poop entirely anyways. Yeah, I'm really lucky. I think there are still dads out there who are very hands-off when it comes to diapering. And I'm luckily not in a household like that. My husband is very hands-on when it comes to diapering. So
I'm happy for you for that. Yeah. I know really my husband is very supportive, but he's not like super into the environmental thing. So as much as he's very much like, yes, I'll put my compost over here, and yes, I will separate out the right. Like it's not his immediate mindset. So I feel that resistance, although he is, like I said, he is very supportive considering it's not
his thing.
He's a man of comfort and would prefer whatever is easiest, but he does do a lot for me because it's important to me. So I am also very lucky in that he's very supportive that way.
Yeah. You know, I can relate to him in lots of days. I can relate to him. So I get it. And I think it's important for us to like recognize, you know, our limits when we have them, especially as a parent. I feel that like, and I think it's important when I talk to other parents that I'm not presenting this idea that we live this like perfect eco lifestyle with no hiccups or no, as if we don't do things that are convenient as well. Because if we kind of present this idea that it's a very hard lifestyle to maintain, or that it's like, you know, you have to do 10 things a day and there's not opportunities to choose comfort, I think the masses won't take it on. Like, I know lots of parents that would say, like, I just don't have time for that or energy for that. And like, you know, I think it's sometimes to say like, yeah, it's okay to cloth diaper, but then use disposables when you need to. And that's still better than fully disposables.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
And if like, you need to take disposables.
If you take disposables with you because you're going away for the evening and you don't want to have to like go through all the motions with somebody who doesn't know, and you're like, just use the disposables, it's fine, it's just one night, whatever.
Yes.
Like, absolutely. Like, just do, I mean, you got to do what you got to do, but
every little bit
you can, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's really important, because I mean, we've been as great as taking cloth diapers camping with us, like a whole extra suitcase of cloth diapers camping, but I've also been as terrible as putting a disposable on my baby when I had a clean cloth diaper downstairs because I just didn't want to walk up and down the stairs, you know, like, so I think there's all of those spectrum, like, even within our lifestyle. And I think that's okay. You know, some days you have it in you to do all of it. And some days you have it in you to take the easy route because sometimes you have to. Like, I definitely find that with kids. Like, I just really have to learn where my limit is.
Yeah, no, I totally get that too. You betcha. Yeah. So what would be an environmentally friendly win for you lately?
We made a poof with blenders this week, which was awesome. Yes, and that was really inspiring. So my husband is actually the sewer among the two of us. So he did the poof class with blenders on Thursday. And it was just like, I could not stop admiring it. Like, I think it's the best. And I just... I'm so excited for how much textile waste can fit in one. Like, it's very exciting. And it just inspired lots of exciting upcycle possibilities with these textiles. Cause like I said, kids' clothes, kids can be hard on them. I know I have stained a lot of kids' clothes that I can't get the stain out, and I've tried everything. So what else can I do with that?
Have you tried grandmother's secret spot remover? Because that stuff is amazing.
Is that a product?
Yeah.
Oh, where do you get it?
Quilt stores.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. My mom used to have this stuff called Gal Friday, and it worked for everything. And I think it was probably very toxic because it was the kind of stuff that when you opened the bottle, like, kind of burned your throat a little bit.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It just smelled very chemically. But it worked fantastic for stains. And now it's not in production. Like, we can't find it anywhere.
Probably because it's a carcinogen or something.
Yeah. But because it burns your throat when you open the bottle.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So probably for the best, but now I have no great stain removers. I've tried the Dawn dish soap with Tide powder and a few other internet remedies, but I've yet to find something that's...
Well, try grandmother's spot remover. It is...
Okay.
It is... I can't believe the stuff that gets out.
Great to know, because a lot of the clothes we receive are mostly good, but sometimes they do just, you know, there's a beautiful piece that just has a stain on it that I'm like, this would be perfect, but...
Except
and
for...
And so sometimes I will sell that as is, like with the stain, because some people won't care if they're just going to wear it around the house or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. More often than not, it ends up in a pile of upcycled clothes.
Mm.
Which I'll look for that.
Well, yeah, maybe that'll help save a few more items for you.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome.
And what is an environmental struggle you've had recently?
Okay, so my husband got a bread maker thinking that we could start making our own bread.
Okay.
So one of those like big boxes that sit on your counter. Because bread is definitely the highest plastic use in our house. And we have, it feels like several hundred bread bags in our closet right now that I don't know what to do with.
You can give them to me because I will use them for my cat litter.
Okay, great. Because bread bags, I'm like, we go through an astounding amount of bread. Like sometimes it's all my kids will eat and we eat bread every day. So anyways, it's an astounding amount of bread bags. And we brought a bread maker thinking we'd start making our own bread. And every loaf of bread we've tried in there is awful. It's awful. So I don't, I'm like ready to get rid of the bread maker. He still wants to give it some goes, but that's my environmental struggle.
Well, I don't know if this will help you, but I get my bread from Cobbs and they are quite happy to put it in a container that I bring in.
That's awesome.
So that's what I do.
That would be great. We have done bakery bread before, but I just can't do it for all of our bread needs. It would not fit in our grocery budget.
Yeah, that's fair. That's why I was like, I don't know if this will work for you, but.
Yeah. Only because of the volume. Like if it was just the two of us, maybe. But yes, we try to do that every once in a while for sure.
But yeah, because we don't get bread in bags anymore, I like struggle to find other things that I can use for the cat litter because you have to put your cat litter in bags, right? You can't just. The city says it needs to be double bagged, which I don't always do, but but like I put it, if we get chip bags, they go in chip bags. And if like they fill up the empty cat food bags and the empty cat litter bags, and somehow don't ask me how this happens, but I have cat food bags and I have cat litter bags, and somehow the litter ends up filling more than those. And somehow the math doesn't add up in my brain that, like,
no. What are you guys producing? What's going on in your little cat box?
Right? I'm like, it's a magical place in there, I guess.
That is really funny.
So
well, I covered
those. Yeah.
I
so, yeah.
A reason
I will absolutely make a use for those bags 100%.
Good.
So,
that's awesome.
Yay, collaboration. Love it.
Yay. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
So, do you
have environmental wins and environmental struggles lately?
Yes. Okay. So my environmental win is that I went to the dentist recently. And at the end of my, you know, when you go to the dentist and they always like, here's your bag of a toothbrush and floss in it and all these things.
Yeah.
And I said, not interested. And so they were like, oh, but it's free. I'm like, I don't care if it's free. And they're like, but, and I'm like, I don't care. So then because they were asking me why, we started talking about change toothpaste tabs.
Thanks.
And the dental hygienist who was helping me out that day was like, oh, tell me more. I want to look into this. So I felt like, A, I got to refuse that extra little bit of garbage that I didn't need. And B, they were quite receptive to the idea of these toothpaste tabs. So that was
awesome.
Yeah, that was really exciting. Wine. I would say my wine is that I recently emailed my gym because I left my water bottle behind. And I went to go and grab it, like, to see if it had been turned in, and it had. So they pulled out these, like, two giant bins of water bottles and, like, shaker bottles that they had behind the counter. And they're like, is it one of these?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So I emailed the gym and said, hey, like, I noticed that you guys have a ton of water bottles and shaker bottles. I just want to see, like, what is it that you do with them, hoping that, you know, they find another home or whatever. And they basically said, yeah, if they're not picked up within 30 days, they just get garbaged. And so I was like, well, you know, what I would love to see is I would love to see them take those unclaimed bottles and, like, sell them for $1 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, they're perfectly good. People buy new bottles and shakers all the time. Why not make a little bit of extra money off of them, keep them out of the landfill, and have a complete, like, convenient place for people to buy these things in the place.
Yeah, there's gotta be a solution there.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, I don't know.
It makes perfect sense. This is where people need water bottles most.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm like,
do you think because they sell their own water bottles and they're worried about their own?
I don't, they don't that I know of. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Because I always wonder, like, how many people buy the $30 gym water bottle? Like, that can't be a huge moneymaker for gyms.
Yeah, but I mean, if you go to the gym and you forget your water bottle, I'd pay $1 to have a water bottle while I'm there, right?
Like, I'd pay probably $5.
So, like, if all they have to do is put them through a dishwasher before they sell them.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. I think that there is a solution there. And I got a, nope, we throw them out.
Yeah, that's very frustrating.
Fair
enough. Yeah.
So we kind of in passing said your business name, but we never actually really mentioned it. So where do people find you?
Yeah, so we're called Green Canoe Shop. Right now we're on Instagram and we have a website, www.greencanoeshop.ca. Oh, we're on Facebook as well, under the same, at Green Canoe Shop. And hopefully we'll be at some pop-up markets throughout the summer. I'm not exactly sure where, but that's the goal.
The information on that, I assume, will be on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah. I'll promote it heavily on there for sure. Yeah. Right now, I'm putting a little hold on taking in clothes because you probably can see a little bit behind me, but I have an office here that is full. And all of the work I do with Green Canoe is, like, after bed for the kids and in nap times and in kind of spare moments. So it's a busy house around here and I need to catch up on the inventory that I have. So if people, like right now, if people want to donate, I will take donations because if I can't do anything with them, I can pass them on to somebody that can do something with them. Mm-hmm. But I can't take on any more buying of inventory right now until I deal with the stuff that I got.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
But there's certainly opportunities to buy clothes. And like we try to get about 100 items on a week. So the inventory online is just growing and growing and growing and growing. And we have, yeah, everything from newborn to size 8, kids' clothes and some shoes, and also like sleep sacks and footwear, things like that, swimwear. And then in maternity clothes, we do all types of maternity clothes, including some like lightly used nursing bras, nursing clothes as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a good variety for sure.
Cool. Yeah. Well, now people can check you out.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Steph.
Thank you, Biz. I really appreciated it.
You betcha.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, it was lovely meeting you.
Thank you so much. Lovely meeting you as well. You have a great week.
You too. And thank you to all of our listeners who tuned in today. Thank you to all of our patrons who support us on Patreon and through wastefree.ca. We really appreciate your donations. They help Waste Free Edmonton to do all of the background stuff because we operate from the bottom up with people who are just tuning in and learning, but also from the top down. And we work with the city and we change laws and try to reduce waste that way as well. And your donations help with that kind of stuff. We really appreciate it. We also want to thank Change Toothpaste, who sponsor the expenses of the podcast because it's not free to do and it's volunteer run. So thank you to Change. If you want to get in touch with us here at Becoming Less, you can reach us at becominglesspod@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at becominglesspod, or you can go to wastefree.ca/becominglesspod for all the ways to connect and listen. Until next time, we can all be a little less than we were yesterday.
Like it is a learning curve.
Do you need to go attend to that?
My husband's up there. She's just she's just yelling about something.